third case of the day, Stayard v. Google. Mr. Stayard.
May it please the Court, I am Gregory Stayard on behalf of Beverly Stayard, the appellant. This case has to do with the use of a person's name for advertising without her consent. The complaint alleges that Google violates Wisconsin privacy law by using the name Bev Stayard as a keyword to trigger sponsored link ads. The Milwaukee District Court dismissed the complaint, holding that Stayard's contention was implausible. This appeal ensued. Stayard's complaint alleges that she has a unique and distinctive personal name. She alleges that she is the only Beverly Stayard on the Internet. She alleges also that her name has a commercial value because of her public efforts for the humane treatment of animals, the popularity of her posts on a third-party Internet website, and her wholesome and positive image. Google is the world's largest advertising agency. It makes all its revenue from advertising. It makes no revenue from its search results. Google displays what are called sponsored links ads. Each of the ads includes a link to the advertiser's website. Stayard alleges that on April 18, 2010, she fully documented 1,970 sponsored link ads. The number of ads that Stayard found for male sexual dysfunction drugs were in the minority. The majority of the ads were for other products, such as an ad for a video doctor who treats fibromyalgia and two ads for the treatment of shingles. The complaint explains that when her name is used to trigger these sponsored link ads, both Google and its advertisers are trading on the popularity and goodwill of her name. Further, there is no requirement under the Wisconsin privacy statute that a person have commercial value in her name. The only requirement is that she be a living person. In sum, there is nothing implausible in Stayard's complaint. All of her allegations should have been assumed as true by the district court. This court applies a de novo standard of review in reviewing those allegations. In its brief to this court, Google says that to hold it liable would cripple search engines and infringe on its right of free speech. This case is only about Google and Google's proprietary algorithm. Google's proprietary algorithm, which triggers search results, is not human speech. It is automated and hidden. It occurs without any human intervention and is instantaneous. It is not a message of any kind. Judge Charles Kahn of the Milwaukee County Circuit Court, so ruled in the Habish case. That case involved Google and the use of personal names to trigger keyword advertising. Google never addresses this aspect of Judge Kahn's ruling in its brief. Judge Kahn also ruled that use of a person's name to trigger sponsored link ads was a violation of the Wisconsin privacy statute. Google also claims that it is making an informational use of Stayard's name and not a commercial use. But Google is wrong again. Over 99% of the search suggestions that Google offers for Stayard are what are called search engine spam. I'd refer the court to Exhibit H, Document 30, plaintiff's response to the motion to dismiss. This is an article which explains search engine spam. It is the practice of websites to load their web pages with extraneous terms, such as the keyword Bev Stayard, so that search engines will then list these sites as addresses, even though the site has nothing to do with the search term. The court would look at the complaint, paragraph 76, and exhibit 6, page 3, Page 3 is a screenshot of the suggested search that Google offers, Bev Stayert Levitra. At the very top of this page, it shows 6,540 suggested searches for Bev Stayert Levitra. There are not 6,540 informational search results for Bev Stayert and Levitra. Levitra is a male sexual dysfunction drug. In opposing dismissal, Stayert advised the district court that Google was deliberately promoting spam search results that are not informational about her. I'd refer the court to document 20, plaintiff's response to the motion to dismiss at pages 25 to 30. The district court failed to address this argument or review the evidence which Stayert submitted. Why would Google deliberately promote search engine spam, which is not informational about Stayert? The reason is it gives us the opportunity to display more sponsored link ads for Bev Stayert Levitra. Taking sponsored link ads off spam search results would cost Google incalculable revenue. Google promotes search engine spam for the revenue that it generates. At approximately 10 results per page, 6,540 spam search results equates to 654 pages for Google to display more sponsored link ads. Google insists that the search terms it suggests, such as Bev Stayert Ed and Bev Stayert Lyrica, trigger the sponsored link ads. But Google conceals the fact that the words Ed and Lyrica never appear in the natural search results. Only Stayert's name, Bev Stayert, appears, and not Ed and not Lyrica. This is solely a commercial use of her name. On April 8, 2010, Stayert found a related search, Bev Stayert Ed, on Google. On this page, there were 11 sponsored link ads for erectile dysfunction remedies. This is at Appendix A21 and A22 of Stayert's brief. Two of the natural search results on this page mention only Bev Stayert and her education. These are the terms that are highlighted in bold on these two results. Bev Stayert and her education are not informational for 11 ads for erectile dysfunction remedies. Two of the natural search results mentioned Bev Stayert and the abbreviation E period D period, which is for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, the federal court in Milwaukee. Again, those terms are highlighted in bold, but ED and Bev Stayert are not informational for these ads for erectile dysfunction remedies. Finally, two of the search results mention only Bev Stayert. That's the only term highlighted in bold on the natural search results. Again, Bev Stayert is not informational for these ads for erectile dysfunction remedies. On April 27, 2010, Stayert found Bev Stayert Lyrica as a related search on Google. And again, I'd refer the court to appendices A23 and A24 to the brief. On Google's related search, Bev Stayert Lyrica, all three of the natural search results only mention Bev Stayert. They have no mention of Lyrica. Yet, Google displays a sponsored link ad for the website Lyrica.com, advertising the drug Lyrica, which is a remedy for fibromyalgia. The natural search results are simply not informational about Bev Stayert Lyrica. There is also nothing informational about Google's related search, Bev Stayert Viagra Methadone. See Appendix 38, Document 11-2. The natural search results contain no reference to methadone, yet Google displays a sponsored link ad for Viagra's official site. In these examples, Google's informational argument fails because it is not using her name for informational purposes. Ed, Lyrica, and methadone never appear in Google's accompanying search results for ads to these products. Google, therefore, is violating Wisconsin's privacy statute. The district court disingenuously and without any analysis concluded that Stayert's allegations were not probable. Google's algorithm is not transparent. It is a proprietary asset similar to a trade secret. It is impossible, without any evidentiary discovery, to know exactly what Google is doing with this algorithm at any point in time. The plausibility of Stairt's allegations are further supported by the Habish case from the Milwaukee County Circuit Court and the Klein case from Israel.
That Habish case hasn't worked its way up the appellate process in Wisconsin.
That's correct. It's currently pending in Madison, and my understanding is that all the briefs have been filed and it's awaiting oral argument.
And in Wisconsin law, a trial court decision is not considered precedential, is it?
That's correct, Your Honor. The reason I cited that case is because of the plausibility argument. If another judge, even if just a trial court, if it finds on similar facts that a complaint should go forward, that's certainly relevant to plausibility.
I'm curious why this wasn't brought in state court.
No. The Habish case was in state court. Is that
right,
what you're asking?
Had Ms. Stairt's damages been limited in some way to something below $75,000 or below, it could have gone to state court, couldn't it?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor. But because of all these ads, we think the amount of revenue is far in excess of $75,000, which I believe is the minimum amount. As I said before, we found 1,970 ads just in one day. And these ads have been on for now several years. And each time an advertiser website is clicked, Google gets a fee. So you can do the math. It's very easily that it may be more than $75,000, considering the period of time. As I started to say, I cited the Klein case because Google stated in its brief on page 42, Google is aware of no case in which the use of a person's name as a search term or keyword has been held to be a violation of the right of publicity, unquote. In that case, it involved three separate divisions of Google and the use of a person's name as a search term. In conclusion, Stairt's case is not just about Google's violation of an individual's privacy rights. Wisconsin's prohibition of unlicensed advertising is designed to protect all its citizens. If the court has any questions, I'll be happy to entertain them if I can.
Thank you, Stan.
Thank you.
Mr. Peterson.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. I'm Jim Peterson. I represent Google, the appellee in this matter. Also want to bring the court's attention to in-house counsel from Google, Makisha Patterson, is with us in the courtroom today. Google's use of Ms. Stayart's name is entirely informational and does not violate Wisconsin's prohibition on violations of the right of privacy. This is Ms. Stayart's complaint. It's printed double-sided. It has 30 exhibits. It's a difficult document to work through. And I think what would be useful for the first bit of my discussion here with the court is to identify in the complaint those particular exhibits which demonstrate quite unequivocally that everything that Google has done with Ms. Stayart's name is purely informational. It's important, though, that we step back first to Ms. Stayart's second case against Yahoo. The first case against Yahoo came up to this court and affirmed the dismissal. But the second case, which I believe has been settled, and so there will be no further appellate proceedings, was filed on January 19, 2010, and the timeline is important here because Mr. Stayart just indicated that it was on April 18th that she had discovered the objectionable search results. The second Yahoo case is critically important for two reasons. The first, and we've included in our appendix the district court's decision in that case. The cornerstone of her allegation against Yahoo involved the very search phrase, Bev Stayart Levitra. Yahoo had suggested a suggested search when Ms. Stayart went to Yahoo. She did a search for her name, and Yahoo suggested an alternative search, Bev Stayart Levitra. That was the cornerstone of her complaint against Yahoo on January 2010. The second critical point is in the complaint itself, and I would ask the court to take judicial notice of paragraphs 52 through 56 of the complaint, because Ms. Stayart discusses Google in those paragraphs, 52 through 56. In her complaint in January, She cites Google as a search engine that had no Levitra-related content. She cites Google as the good guy in her allegations against Yahoo. On January of 2010, there wasn't a speck of objectionable content in Ms. Stayart's view relating to Beth Stayart and Levitra. There were no suggested searches dealing with Levitra or Viagra or Cialis or methadone. She documents those searches assiduously and attaches those search results to her complaint, showing that in January of 2010, none of the stuff that she's objecting to now was on Google. Now we turn to her complaint against Google, which is predicated entirely on searches that were done after Yahoo 2 was filed. In February and March of 2010, she finds that there are suggested search results, or a suggested search for Bev Stayart Yahoo, now on Google. But it was only after she filed her litigation against Yahoo. Mr. Stayart is quite plainly wrong, and his own pleading in Yahoo 2 demonstrates that these objectionable results have not been appearing for years. The objectionable results on Yahoo appeared only after she filed the case against Yahoo, related specifically to the search Bev Stayart Levitra. In the complaint, you will find four exhibits, 3, 8, 10, and 30, that contain searches and the search results for the term Bev Stayart or Beverly Stayart. None of those search results contain any sponsored links whatsoever. The rest of the exhibits are searches that were run for searches such as Bev Stayart Levitra, Bev Stayart Cialis, Bev Stayart Cialis Methadone. Sponsored links for Levitra appear only on searches which include the term Levitra. And even those sponsored links didn't appear until she had filed her case against Yahoo. What this demonstrates is that the problem is one of Ms. Stayart's creation, because she filed a suit complaining about the search term Bev Stayart Levitra, and only after that was filed was there internet content about her litigation. If you look at the search results for Bev Stayart Levitra, you'll find that the organic or natural search results are almost entirely devoted to her litigation. Her litigation has engendered an enormous amount of internet commentary because people who live in the internet world are very concerned about how search engines operate, because it is a very important aspect of communication on the internet. And that is why those results have appeared. People are looking for information about Bev Stayart Levitra because she made it an issue in the Yahoo case. There's internet content about Bev Stayart Levitra because people are commenting about her litigation. Mr. Stayart spent some considerable time talking about internet spam. Internet spam is, I would say, in everybody's agreement, not a good thing. But internet spam is the result of a third party putting content on the internet. People want to get traffic to their websites. They can realize revenue if they're clever in how they do it. But internet spam is not Google's creation. Internet spam is internet content. It's low-value internet content, but it is internet content. And when Google indexes the internet, if there is low-quality content, it gets indexed right along with everything else. It's going to appear on the subsequent pages. If you look at the search results, sometimes Mrs. Stayart goes to page 5 of the Google search results to find the spam, but that's third-party content. I want to direct your attention to important concessions that Mr. Stayart made in his briefing to this court, pages 16 and page 45, particularly page 45, where Mr. Stayart tells the court, Stayart is not challenging the right of Google to sell advertising space on the internet. Stayart is not challenging the language of any advertising displayed by Google on the internet. Stayart is not challenging the content of search results for her, although as noted in the complaint, most all of these results contain no legitimate information about her. Most are spam. Most are spam sites displayed by Google solely to give it space for more advertising. In his brief to this court, he said the spam is not an issue. His concern is solely with keyword advertising. So most of his time is devoted to a kind of low-quality, third-party spam that is not Google's problem. Let me address for a moment the constitutional issue. Mr. Stair began with that. Mr. Stair takes quite a remarkable position here, and it's one that I submit is utterly unsupported by any authority, with the exception of the Wisconsin case from Judge Kahn, which I'll address in a minute. But Mr. Stair's position is effectively that search engines are not communicative because they're automatic. That would be tantamount to suggesting that the First Amendment does not apply to book printing or to book distribution because those aren't human speech. Only authors are entitled to the benefit of the First Amendment. Publishers and distributors are not. That is an utterly remarkable and unprecedented view that I think has been roundly rejected and is completely inconsistent with legions of cases from this court and the Supreme Court as well. I would direct you probably most recently to the Brown versus Education Merchants Association about video game regulation, discussion there about the broad sweep of the First Amendment applying without regard to technology, and makes the very point that book distribution is certainly covered by the First Amendment. On to Judge Kahn in the Habish case. Very important to point out, first of all, that that is a case between competitors, the Habish law firm and the Cannon and Dunphy law firm in Wisconsin. Google is not a party to that case. There is no holding in that case that is related to the search engine at all. Judge Kahn did reach the conclusion that Google's search engine is not speech. I would point out that Judge Kahn is sadly on that point just as wrong as Mr. Stayart, and Judge Kahn cited not a single authority to support his conclusion. Moreover, it's completely dicta because he did not have to reach that decision because he decided, again, contrary to Mr. Stayart's suggestion here, Judge Kahn decided that, in fact, the Cannon firm had not violated the publicity rights of the plaintiffs in that case and dismissed the case on summary judgment. And so the holding was exactly the opposite as Mr. Stair suggested. At its heart, this case is really a question of statutory interpretation. Does what Google does violate Wisconsin's right of publicity? We think it doesn't. Mr. Stair has cited no precedent that's even really remotely analogous to support his position that this would violate the right of publicity. We think if you look at Wisconsin law, you'll see only a sparse handful of cases. We've identified those for you. We've tried to be comprehensive about Wisconsin cases on the issue. We think if you look to the history of the Wisconsin statute, very informative article by Ms. Endijan in the Wisconsin Law Review tracing that history. And it makes the point that Wisconsin was very reluctant to adopt the right of publicity. In fact, the entire family of torts under the right of privacy for specific concern that the tort not interfere with the freedom of communication. That history makes that point, and indeed the statute itself expressly recites that the tort has to be interpreted with due regard for the freedom of communication, both by the media and by the public. It's not limited to the media. The Wisconsin legislature and Wisconsin courts have always been particularly solicitous of the rights of the press and individuals toward free expression. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why Wisconsin does not recognize the tort of false light invasion of privacy. Very, very pro-communicative. Because Wisconsin case law was sparse, we laid out a range of case law from other jurisdictions. We found that there was expressive communication and informational communication almost inevitably held not to be a violation of the right of publicity. In conclusion, what I would like to do is suggest that you don't need to use Twombly and Iqbal to dismiss this complaint, because there is nothing that Google has done that Google is alleged to have done that is illegal. Bevstayert Levitra is a legitimate search term. It's a legitimate keyword. If you have content that is related to Bevstayert Levitra, which is an issue that has become a matter of legitimate public concern, it's appropriate for Google to sell that as a keyword, and there is absolutely nothing unusual about advertiser-supported media finding advertisements that is relevant to the content that they provide. Google is a search engine. It's not an advertising agency, but it's an advertising-supported medium. Like any advertising-supported medium, advertisers want to place their ads in the context of communication that is relevant to those ads. Nobody benefits from having irrelevant ads served to Internet users that are searching for something else. Bevstayert Levitra isn't a very good keyword if you're trying to sell Levitra. It's an excellent keyword if you're trying to promote your blog about Internet operations. I'll end with a final example. Today happens to be the day on which Tiger Woods' former coach, Hank Haney, is publishing a memoir of his time with Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is arguably the world's best-known sports celebrity, but he is relentlessly private about certain matters. He did not authorize this book. But it goes on sale today, and there will be many Internet users that are searching for the book. Many of them will not know the title. The title is The Big Miss. Google will do what it can to help people who are searching for Tiger Woods' book, or the book about Tiger Woods, who don't know its publisher, may not know its author, and Google is going to help them find that book. The rule that Mr. Stayert is proposing is that using Tiger Woods as a keyword would be a violation of his right of publicity. That, Your Honors, would absolutely cripple the operation of the Internet. It would not serve the interests of the citizens to interfere with the ability of a Internet user and a seller of a legitimate communication on a matter of legitimate public interest like the Hank Haney book to not be able to use Tiger Woods as a keyword, because that is the subject of his book, just like Bevstayert is the subject of a great deal of Internet commentary. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Mr. Stayert?
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Peterson repeatedly mischaracterized the record in this case. First of all, there are not enormous content about her litigation against Levitra and Yahoo. As Mr. Peterson acknowledged, the Yahoo case was settled shortly after it was filed in 2010. At most, there were 20 blogs of the 19,700 suggested searches for Bevstayert Levitra that legitimately involved her lawsuit. All the rest are spam. Secondly, I'm not complaining about Google's display of spam. They can display it if they want, but they use that as the medium to put all these ads involving Bevstayert Levitra, which have no connection to her. Secondly, regarding the First Amendment, Google concedes in its brief, and I'll read it exactly at page 6, Google Suggest is an automated tool which operates without human intervention. They admit no human speech is involved in this Google Suggest. Now they come back and say, wait a minute, the Internet is a free speech medium. We're entitled to rely on it. I would suggest they can't have it both ways. If it's automated, hidden, and done by an algorithm, it's not human speech. That's what is at issue in this case. The process by which these links are displayed to the advertising, which has no connection to Bevstayert, that is not human speech. I did not mischaracterize the Habish case as well. The court ruled in that case that use of a person's name to trigger sponsored link ads was a violation of the statute in Wisconsin. What the court then also ruled was, in that particular situation, it was not an unreasonable violation because the two parties were competing law firms. We don't have that situation here. Ms. Stayert is not competing with any of these drug companies and selling male sexual dysfunction products or any of the other thousands of products which Google displays as ads for. So there's not a competition issue. Another problem in the Habish case was the name was also used for a law firm. And as I'm sure the court is aware, a firm or a business does not enjoy a right of publicity. It's only an individual. So the law firm had a little trouble because the personal names were also used in the law firm, and that hurt them with the Judge Kahn, at least. So we're not challenging spam search results. It's the use of those spam search results to give Google the place to put these ads. Mr. Peterson also said that there were no search results on Google and Levitra before Stayart filed her lawsuit against Yahoo. That was true. I was referring to the time since the case has been filed till today when I mentioned the $75,000 minimum jurisdictional amount can be reached, because these ads have been going on for the last 2 years. I believe I've concluded my rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Stair.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.